Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, what happens when you put a political journalist and a musician turned sound operator into a room together? They create a musical festival in Roscommon featuring Bell X1, Damien Dempsey and The Undertones, to name but three. My next guests, Craig Hughes and his uncles Brendan Hurley and Dermot Hurley, are founders of the Night and Day Festival, which is taking place on the 28th to the 30th of June in the Lochkey Forest Park. And I'm delighted to be joined by all three of them here in the studio now. So we might start with you, Craig. Give us the background to this crazy event.
Yeah, well, I guess it started when my crazy uncle Brendan moved back to Mayo and set up the Claremorris Folk Festival, and I'd been kind of helping him out with that. And I remember, I think it was over Christmas or something like that, he kind of said, look, we could do something bigger together. And my other job is I'm a political editor of the Daily Mail, and so we're kind of looking to, I guess, utilise that to kind of do something bigger and draw some kind of presence to it. So we pressed ahead with the first Night and Day. It was initially in Clonlanagh's house in Castlereagh, but then we announced it. We had planned to. And then the pandemic hit, of course. So there was a grant we were looking at for a festival in that part of the country. That was all pulled. I mean, the world was turned upside down for a while. But then as soon as we could, we went ahead with it.
So you cut your teeth in Castlereagh. This is a bigger event now. Yeah. Brendan, tell us about your own involvement. You're an interesting character. you played in a band when you were younger. You became a sound engineer, and then you ended up working in the Economic Summit in Davos as a production manager.
Where are you getting your information from?
How does that connect back to Lochkey Forest Park and the Night and Day Festival?
Well, I suppose the connection is really the Rossi thing. You know, we're talking about parochial local village politics. No, but as a proud Rossi, you know, so we'd done that. We'd done the folk festival in Claremorris and Mayo, just across the border. Went to Davos and all those places. But as soon as we came back home, we wanted to do something in Roscommon. You know, we all attend festivals all over the country, you know, brilliant festivals in the east and down south. There's not too much going on in the west in terms of festivals. So we wanted to correct that and do something in our hometown. And we're better than Lochkey. Stunning. Yeah. Stunning.
Beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
How many people are you hoping to get, or how many people would you hope it might turn up for the 2 days?
We're expecting, I suppose, close to 3,000 on both days.
It's a nice number.
It's nice. It keeps it small and manageable. There's no queues. Everybody gets to know each other. It's very nice.
Right. Let's bring in the other uncle, Dermot. Where did you come along on this journey? You're the fellow out in the car park dealing with all the angry lads stuck in the mud.
I suppose my background is in service delivery, as in professional world. So I suppose that naturally lent itself to the behind the scenes stuff for the festival. I suppose it's up to me to build the site, get everything in place so that, people have an experience.
If we look at this as a business venture in terms of the ability to make money, you know, there's so much rides on so maybe few events, weather being one. You know, we saw lots of the smaller festivals being impacted badly by the weather. And I know you say you put your head down and you drive on and you take whatever the weather gives, but it is a fairly precarious place, isn't it? Because you've all your money on black or red in one sense.
Yeah, I mean, one of the beauties of the site in Lochkey is there's a great infrastructure there already. You know, we have a proper camping site that's there all year round, you know, so that allows us to, it doesn't take away all the risk, but it mitigates the risk of the weather. And plus, we're inside in tents, so even if it is raining, you know, people have that shelter and that cover. So really, the big challenge is just managing car parks when the weather goes bad. But, you know, again, even our car park, we have solid ground in and out, you know. So the beauty of the site is its location.
So you have plan B of sorts.
And C and D.
Craig, tell me about how you got the likes of Bell X1, Damien Dempsey, The Undertones. What's the process in attracting those bands and sealing them? Because obviously you want to advertise who you have, and that all drives ticket sales.
Sure, I think Brendan would be kind of dealing with them from a booking perspective. But I think for us, we've kind of built up a reputation of being a really heavily Irish focused festival. And I think that kind of filters through. And we've kind of worked hard to, I guess, be really respectful to artists and make it a very artist friendly environment. And I mean, it kind of filters back. We have heard artists say it from the stage. We've heard them say it in radio studios. So I guess for us, putting that effort in now to give Irish artists a platform and also really make it an artist centred festival has really kind of paid off for us.
Brendan, when you choose your date and time, do you need to be mindful of other festivals that are happening? Like if there's a circuit and maybe there's bands on the circuit, you probably need to slot into that in some level, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's pretty common also. You know, within the, you know, when dealing with agents and stuff like that, that they know that, you know, they're not going to book their artists, you know, at a festival up the road the week before or the week after, you know. But absolutely, you have to be conscious of that, you know.
Who's the audience for this type of event now?
I think, you know, it's an over 21s festival, and, you know, we have teenage kids, so that doesn't sit very well with some people. But, you know, it creates a different atmosphere. So kids under 14 go free. So, but it just means that it's very family focused on one level. And then let's say let's call them more mature on the other level. And that just creates its own atmosphere. You know, it's people are a bit more maybe respectful and don't go as wild as you might see at some festivals, you know.
Dermot, it's truly a family affair. I presume everybody, first cousins, twice removed, whoever are roped in for the event. Is that, you've really just make sure this is a family event.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody shows up and does something.
If you look sideways at one of us at the moment, you're given a job, you know, and we couldn't do it without the family, you know. It's cousins.
But that's kind of nice on another level, no?
Absolutely, yeah. You know. Now, you know, it has its own tensions, obviously, but, you know, we're all pushing in the same direction, and, you know, it's great to be able to call on family and friends like that. You know, especially at the beginning when we're small and growing, you know, as we get bigger, we might outsource some of the tasks.
And is that ultimately the aim to build it, you know, year on year? As you say, you started in Castlereagh, now you're into a place of greater infrastructure, the numbers will grow, the names will get bigger. What's the lifespan of a festival like this?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think under our current kind of license, I mean, it's a capacity of 5,000, and I think, you know, we'd want to be getting there and being comfortable. And I think that would probably be our kind of natural size anyway. And going beyond that, it's kind of like a kind of planning permission process, you know, with engagement with the local community and all the rest of it. So, I mean, we're not thinking anywhere near that at the moment, to be honest. It'd be a great problem to have in years' time if people wanted us to increase the size, but but we're not there yet, so.
Brendan, tell us a little about your own music background. Liverpool in the, what was it, in the mid-70s, the late 70s? Are you that old?
Do I look that old, geez?
No, we say the early 80s.
Yeah, I did go to Liverpool. I was lucky enough to go to Paul McCartney's Performing Arts College, actually.
How was it? Did he just fund that, or how did that work?
It was his old school, yeah.
Okay.
And then he basically funded it. It really was a great place. I went there, like I said, to do sound engineering. To do a degree in sound engineering was unheard of at the time, you know. But the studios were state of the art. The BBC used to come in to use the studios. And from the first day you arrived in the door, you know, with no experience, you were given 24-hour access to these studios. So tweeters were blown and everything, you know. But you learned, you know, on the job. You learned, it was very much hands-on.
And were you in a band at that stage?
I was, yeah. I played in a band in Liverpool, and I played in a band before that, and I play in a band now, actually, as well.
And will you be taken to the stage at Night and Day
Festival? Yeah, I think we're going to headline this year. No, absolutely not. It's more of it's a hobby, something we do to keep out of trouble now. But yeah, I think our days of dreaming of being rock stars are over.
Yeah. So what happens between, what are the big challenges, Dermot, between now and then? We're what? 3 weeks out?
Yeah.
So what will you be doing now for the next, what's your focus for the next 3 weeks?
The focus now is the build schedule, you know, because we have so many contractors, partners coming in that basically make a site in the space of 2 weeks. So the focus really now is just getting that timing right so that, you know, everything falls in place and everything is ready to rock and roll for Friday at 5 o'clock when the first band hits the stage.
And there's also, is there not, other things happening at Loch Key Forest Park that you have to, I suppose, interact around?
Yeah, I mean, again, the site, you know, they have Zip It there, they have kayaking, they have the boat tours, you know. So again, in fairness, not only with Loch Key, but their attractions are all on board. You know, they see the value that having the festival in Lochee brings to promoting the area, you know, and promoting Roscommon as a destination, you know, which is, as Brendan mentioned at the start, you know, I have my Rusty's top on here. I'll be heading to the Hyde later on to see us, you know, beat Mayo, hopefully. But it really is, you know, it really is about promoting the area. As much as the festival is a passion for us, you know, we're really proud of where we come from and we want to put Roscommon as a place to go to.
Craig, it's good to see the local authority, you know, I suppose, involved in these type of events. Now, while they may be involved at a kind of a once removed level, it is good to see the council promoting events such as this.
No, I wouldn't say they're once removed. They're really, really active, I must say, since they've come on board as partners in Caolte. I mean, they've really been amazing in helping us drive the festival forward. And it's great. So Lochee is two shareholders at the council in Caolte. And it was great for them, first of all, to let us put the festival on there, but then to become partners in it is really, really fantastic. And just go back to what you're saying about, you know, the challenges. I mean, obviously for us, promoting it is obviously a big challenge. We're very grateful that News Talk came on board as partners. And before that, I remember going into Paul Henderson, the CEO of DMG Media.
Give him my regards.
Yeah. And, you know, he very gratefully offered to be our media partner as well. So that we've been pushing that through the Extra.ie brand. And I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, generosity and the support of that, we wouldn't be able to do this.
And how are ticket sales going?
Good. Yeah, no, I think we're pretty confident that we'll be very close to getting to our kind of, you know, 2,500-3,000 mark this year, which is, I guess, you know, more than a doubling of last year. So it's, I think for us, anyone who's been there has come away with a smile on their face. People are buying tickets the week after the festival ends that they're so happy being there. All our surveys are saying, you know, we asked them what could we change and some people are saying nothing. So our challenge is to get people there to experience it for themselves.
And who's the numbers man here among the three? So I want to ask a question.
Oh, yeah, go on. Yeah.
What's the break even? How many tickets do we need to sell to break even?
You're commercially sensitive now, Bobby. You know, yeah, come on.
Yeah. No comment.
No comment on that, okay. Yeah. Well, look, I wish you well. It's great to see three members of the same family coming together for a unique cultural event in a beautiful part of the world, which is Lochee Forest. So I'd like to thank my guests, Dermot, Craig and Brendan. Good luck with the festival.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.